Welcome to Started From the Bottom, how to beat the odds and become a successful entrepreneur. And I'm your host, Trudy. I'm a certified personal trainer, an online fitness coach, and an entrepreneur, and the founder of Body Envy. I remember when I started my company, Body Envy, I was lost, I was confused, I made so many errors. A lot of them were expensive ones. And this podcast will share some of those mistakes, things I wish I knew, in hopes that it will help you become successful faster, help you to avoid some of the mistakes that I made. I'll also be interviewing amazing entrepreneurs who've built successful business. They'll also be sharing their stories and, you know, offering you tips and advices of things that you can do to become a successful entrepreneur. So grab your pen and paper and take notes and let's do this. Hey, 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 it's Trudy here, guys. And we're slowly coming out of quarantine, and you may have gained that quarantine 15 or 20. Don't worry, no one's judging, but hey, I got you. I created my 30-day at-home shred with Trudy, where you work out with me. Everything is pre-recorded, no gym, no equipment. You work out from the comfort of your home. Full meal plans, which include recipes and grocery lists, are included. To learn more about it, just go to my website, bodyenvy.ca, and click on 30-day at-home shred, right? So that's bodyenvy.ca. Rachel is the founder and chief lemon of Make Lemonade, a co-working office in the heart of Toronto. Rachel believes that everyone deserves to feel like a boss, whether they're the CEO or starting their first internship. She encourages everyone to go after their dreams, no matter how big or small or what lemon life has handed them. Hey guys, Trudy here. And today we have Rachel Kelly, founder and chief lemon of Make Lemonade. Hey Rachel, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm so excited to be here.
Yay, I'm awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time today. All right, so you are chief lemon of Make Lemonade. Exactly what does that mean, Rachel? What is chief lemon?
When I find out exactly what I do, I'll let you know. Chief Lemon was a self-appointed title when I decided I didn't want to go by CEO. I feel like I'm too tiny to be using that name right now. Founder didn't sound as exciting, and Chief Lemon kind of just means everything under the sun.
And when you're a small business, you're an entrepreneur, that's usually what you are. You're doing a whole lot of things. You're doing a lot. All right, so Make Lemonade. Tell us about Make Lemonade.
Yeah, so we're a co-working space for women, from entrepreneurs to freelancers and anyone who just has their work from home days. Make Lemonade is always open. We offer an inspiring work environment, unlimited lemonade, and a welcoming community. One of our main missions is that we want to make sure that everyone feels like a boss, no matter where they are in their business, whether they're the CEO or an intern. Make Lemonade is a space for everyone. Mm-hmm. And we are located in the heart of Toronto.
Good, good. And I love that. Get lots of lemonade. And that is true because I have been there before. So Make Lemonade is a co-working space for women in Toronto. How did you come about with this concept?
Mm-hmm. So for a couple of years, it was freelancing. In fact, I've only ever had like one real typical office job. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I started freelancing and traveling a lot. And the main common denominator was that I was working remotely, either from coffee shops or from home. And the main common thing was that I was lonely. I was really, really mm-hmm. tired of being by myself. If I had a win, it was just me celebrating on my own. If I had a call, it would be me in like a coffee shop and it would be loud and distracting and I didn't feel professional. And I got really like envious of friends who had holiday Christmas parties with their offices because I didn't have anybody to mm-hmm. celebrate that with. Long story short, life handed me a lemon. right at the beginning, or sorry, near the end of 2016. And I've been sitting on this idea for a while. And I asked myself, if I'm not going to act on it now, then when am I? Now is as good as a time as ever to start following my dreams and following through on the things I've been sitting on. And I said to myself, life's handed you a lemon. Let's make lemonade out of it.
Love it. So you said, you know, life handed you a lemon and you decided to make lemonade out of it. What was that lemon that life handed you? Because at some point life, you know, hands most of us that lemon and it's up to us to decide what we do with it. What was that lemon that life handed you?
Yeah. So I'd actually been offered a full-time salaried position with the one company I was freelancing for. I had a couple other gigs that, that I was regularly doing some work for. And this is kind of when I was feeling really down about my current work situation and everything. And it kind of felt like this golden ticket, like, great, finally, I'm going to have a salary. I'd never had a salary before in my life. Very appealing to me. And so I quit all my other contracts and said, I'm going to go full steam ahead of this. And then what ended up happening, I signed the contract, everything. And what ended up happening is about a day before I started working for them, like officially with this new contract, they said, never mind, can you continue freelancing?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it was kind of like that record rip in my life. And that's what kind of caused me to think, okay, what are we going to do next about this? Am I going to find another job? Am I going to jump on a plane and travel a lot? As a side note, I did a lot of that. I've been top of mountains, below ocean, trying to find myself. And I knew at this time that at this point in my life, I needed to look within. No plane ticket or no job title was going to give me the answers I needed. I needed to figure that out on my own. And I needed to make lemonade out of the situation.
You had to basically start adulting.
Yes, I really had to start adulting. It was
You're like, welcome to adulthood.
Yeah.
Right. So you decided to start make lemonade. Why did you want a space specifically for anyone who identified as a woman? Why did you think such a space was important at the time when you decided to start it?
Yeah. So when the time was, so this was in late 2016 was when I started to get the idea that I wanted to open up a co-working space. Now, there are hundreds of co-working spaces around. And I did some deep research into how this is going to work. And there was, you know, some spaces that were exciting and some that were different and this and that. But I was like, there has to be something else that makes my place stand apart. And I've always wanted to be able to help people and bring people together. This was also the time when Girl Boss had come out by Sophia Amoruso. Entrepreneurship in the women and working, like that was just on the rise. And so it was kind of always on the back of my mind that these were things that I was passionate about. And I just kind of, with every step that I came closer to opening Make Lemonade and kind of creating a brand and identity around what I wanted to create, I kept saying yes to the things I really liked that I was drawn to. I love working with women. I have a lot of amazing women mentors in my life from before Make Lemonade and during Make Lemonade. And once I started, you know, just going deeper and deeper into this, at that point, it was just a project that I was hopefully going to step forward with. I've also learned that, you know, there aren't spaces that are always specifically created for women. And traditionally, we've seen so many spaces that were created for our counterparts. And I thought, we need a space that's for us. We need a space that when you come in, you say, yes, this was for me. But the difference is we say Make Lemonade is a space for women, but however you identify, you are welcome here. You just have to follow our community guidelines, and you have to be a kind, genuine, welcoming human being as well. And the reason I decided to do that and make sure that that was important is above all of the main obvious reasons, one of the things that was true for me was that my dad spent the entire summer helping me renovate Make Lemonade's office. And it felt very wrong to say, yay, thanks for all of your help, but you can't come back. That's not right. And if we're trying to work towards an equal future, then we need to be taking the steps now.
Exactly. Like the way I always look at it, it's, you know, if we're saying that we're excluded from so many things, who are the ones excluding us? And if we feel as if they're excluding us, we should also invite them, right? Mm-hmm. So they can understand where we are and why we want to be included.
Exactly.
So, all right. So you said your dad helped you over the summer preparing brick mm-hmm. for Make Lemonade. Now, mm-hmm. I have a few questions about that.
Yeah.
When you decided to start Make Lemonade, what were some of the steps that you took? Could you walk us through it? Because, you know, a lot of businesses starting now are online. Yours was a brick and mortar. So could you walk us through some of the steps that were needed?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So the very first thing I did, and it was, you know, it was a messy, I guess this would have been a messy winter. Working through all of these thoughts in my head and trying to put it out on paper. So one of the first things I did was I grabbed a massive piece of paper and I kind of attacked my living room and covered it with ideas on these pieces of paper and wrote down every single possible step I thought possible that I needed to do. It was a massive brain dump over a period of months and slowly started taking them away. You know, one would be, okay, I need to have a website. I need to develop a logo. I need to find an office space. I need to determine what the main roles are, what our membership packages are, like every single detail, you know, what color would I paint the walls, everything possible. All went into that piece of paper. And then I slowly started taking things off and reaching out to the people that I kind of knew in my circle that could help me. Mm-hmm. It was about, I think the job, the lemon, happened in on October, early October of 2016. And October 26, 2016, so a couple weeks later, I reached out to a family friend who was a real estate agent and had him kind of connect me with somebody in Toronto to kind of get those wheels in motion. Because the other big part too was going, okay, here's all the ideas, but how much is everything going to cost? Right? Yeah. My parents have been amazing that they've never ever, they've always just taught me to dream big. So in the beginning stages of Make Lemonade, I was more like, there's nothing to lose right now. Let's just write all these ideas down, big, exciting as ever. Let's worry about cost after, and let's just put this out. And then after that, of the big brain dump, was then it turned into a big Excel sheet of the very first projection of expenses and whatnot of what this was going to look like. And I got so detailed. I even figured, okay, if the average person drinks 2 cups of coffee a day, and then they're going to use this much milk on an average basis, times that by how many members in the space, this is how much milk I'm going to need. And now what's so funny is here, we just have a little whiteboard in the back, and it's like, check yes if we need to buy milk.
You had everything down to a T.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you have previous business or marketing experience to kind of figure out, okay, this, you know, like some of the things that you were just discussing, how much to charge for membership to ensure that you get paid, that once you bring on staff, they get paid. You were just mentioning if each person had a cup of tea, how much would it cost to make it? How much would you gain from that? What would be your ROI? How did you know how to do that? Did you just read about it? Did you have previous business experience?
No, I didn't really. A lot of like my, you know, the ultimate tool book is Google. I Googled a lot. I was volunteering at a co-working space. I had been a part of a co-working space.
Oh, okay.
About a year and a half prior, and it was an amazing community, and I really kind of learned a lot of the ins and the outs there.
Okay.
I Googled the heck out of everything. I found, it was so coincidental the way this happened, but a friend of a friend had done her thesis on co-working spaces. So it was kind of like the history of co-working spaces and how they had started and kind of like these five pillars that every co-working space kind of follows. It was an insane amount of research. And just to give you a bit of context too, so this was, it started in really October of 2016, and Make Lemonade, our doors opened in September of 2017. So about a full year later. And during that time, one of the biggest kind of hindrances is you're looking for an office space. That's the thing that takes the longest.
And especially in downtown Toronto, where the prices, when you do find something, the prices can be so high. So that was something I was also going to ask about.
Yeah.
How did you decide on the location you wanted? Did you have something in mind, then that didn't work out? And it's like, okay, did you want something close to the subway? Did you have a certain budget and that didn't work out? Then you went with another budget. What were some of the things you were thinking about when you actually thought of the location you wanted for Make Lemonade?
I wish I could say that I got to think of the location for Make Lemonade. It was not easy. I actually originally really thought that we were going to be in the West End of Toronto. I was like, this is cool. It's up and coming. And that's where all the cool people are. and I was really gung-ho about that. And for a couple months telling my real estate agent, I'm like, we're only looking here. I don't want to be in the downtown core. We're cool. And really, with real estate, it's kind of luck of the draw. It's like, what is available? What fits your budget? And I also had like my list of requirements, you know, being close to the subway and the TTC was, you know, one of the top things. I really wanted it to be fully accessible with wheelchair access. I think, you know, natural lighting. And one of the original things where it was like, not like brick and beam, like, you know, you really say like, here's all the things. And then as you know, time goes on, you kind of go, okay, what do I actually need? And what's going to be okay? So I think that it took us about 7 months just to find the space.
Oh, wow.
And that's also partially too, like this was my first business. So some real estate agents don't even, or sorry, some landlords don't even want to take you on as a tenant because who are you to them, right? You know, just some nobody who's going to say, I swear this is going to be the best thing ever. And
I'm sure they've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also going, I have no idea what the heck I'm doing, but I swear I'm good for the money every month. So yeah, that was a really big, difficult part of the process. And, you know, there'd be some days where I'm like, I'm just ready to start. I just want to start. I want to open the space and, you know, be ready to do this. But you know, you have to find that office first.
Okay, great. Now, you said everything took about 7 months to find an actual space. During that 7 months, I can just imagine you're excited. You want this project going. You want to get Make Lemonade up and going. You want this community, this co-working space. You know, during that 7 months, do you ever feel like, okay, I can't be bothered with this anymore? Just either either just close the idea, forget everything, scrap it, or just give me a space anywhere, or where you like, I'm done, I'm just gonna go adult now, let me just try to find something full time. What are some of the things that were going through your mind during those 7 months of trying to find an actual location?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great question, actually. No one really asked me about that.
And that's the thing I want to, and that's, you know, that's why I wanted us to talk more about behind the scenes, because everyone sees the end product and think, oh, okay, she decided to start a project and in 3 months it was up and running and no hiccups. Because sometimes when we're going through the BS behind the scenes, when we're in the mud, when it seems as if we're trying to get ahead, but you know, so many obstacles, and we're like, we think we're the only ones going through it and everyone else just breezes through without any obstacles, right? So I wanted to know, what are some of the things, because as you said, you were doing freelancing work for so long, you were lonely doing that. So now here you are taking on this project. So I kind of want to know what was going on through your mind at that time.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, really like that lemon that life had in me, like that was really like an ultimate kind of crossroads in my life. Because at that point, up until that point, I didn't really have any direction. I was more so just kind of being scrappy, figuring out ways to, you know, survive, you know, eat, do some fun things, and that's about it. So this was a really exciting chance for me at this time to just finally do something for myself. I'd always wanted to own my own business. My parents were entrepreneurs for 33 years, so I knew this is what I wanted to do. There were definitely days and times during this period where I was like, what am I doing? Like, is this actually going to make sense? But I think during that time, there was never a time when I said, no, I'm not going to do this, because I really, really wanted it. And I knew that I wanted to create this life that I had imagined. Of course, there were times where I was like, is this really going to be worth it? But I never, ever quit. I think I always strive to be the kind of person that says what I'm going to do. Up until we found the lease. So this was like, you know, like 5-6 months in or whenever it was, I had no real skin in the game. It really was just, I had an Instagram account. I'd started an Instagram account just under a year before I opened Make Lemonade. And so that was kind of my like gauging, but I really like, it wasn't until I signed that lease, it was just time. It was just time that I was passing. There was no money. There was, you know, I wouldn't even say at that point, I didn't even really lose too many nights of sleep. I was like, I still sometimes felt a little bit, diluted maybe. And I always kind of like move forward with a little bit of naivety. And I think that that's like, that really helps people a lot when sometimes you get yourself into something and you don't know how crazy or big and complicated it actually is until you're there and you go, okay, well, this is it. And I got to figure it out. And, I never
said out.
I never said, no, I'm not going to do this. I saw this quote, I live by quotes, and there's this quote by Banksy that says, when you're tired, learn to rest, not quit.
Good.
And I really believe that. And I think, you know, over the time that I was opening and searching and everything, I tried to take my time. There were some days where I'm like, I just want to move forward. I want to be a hashtag girl boss. I want to, you know, be all these things. You know, and if I'm looking back now, I wish I moved slower, because life changes. Life changed so much as soon as I opened. And I wish I was slower during all of it.
Why you wish you were slower?
Because there's like a level of guilt that happens when you own your own business, especially when you have overhead costs that come every single month. There's no break on any of that. It just keeps turning all the time. That when you are not actively doing something to grow your business, you feel like you're letting it down. And that's why I wish I moved slower during the time that my responsibilities were minimal.
Okay. Now, speaking of responsibilities, you mentioned that you had given up the other freelancing work you had because you were supposed to start this full-time gig, and the day before they pulled the rug, nah, we don't need you, go back to freelancing. And then it took 7 months for you to find the location for Make Lemonade. Generating an income? What were you doing in that time? Did you return to your other freelancing clients? Did you start freelancing again? How were you surviving?
Very, very scrappily. I actually ended up going back to that company that pulled the rug from beneath my feet, and took back their freelancing position, freelancing position that they had. I wasn't happy about it.
But you did what you had to do, because you had to eat. Bills had to be paid, right?
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, because they had kind of pulled that move, all of a sudden there was motivation there. Because I went, let me just show you. Let's just you wait. I can't wait when I say, I'm sorry, I can no longer take on this.
So that helped to fuel you. So even when the days where it seemed rough, you're like, no, I'm going to show them. Okay.
Yeah.
Now You just said you were barely getting by. And of course, starting a business, especially a brick and mortar business, require funds. You had to sign a lease that you had to pay a certain amount. Where did you and how did you obtain the funds to do all of that if you were already barely getting by?
So I had a little bit of savings from prior life things. But the main contribution was from my parents. They had run their business for 33 years and proved to be very, very successful. And my brother and I, you know, got this news that we had a trust that we could, you know, create something out of it. But the main thing was like, don't just spoil it. Don't go travel around the world. And, you know, and squander this money, you know, make something out of it. And that is, at the end of the day, like, that's my true motivation for why I do now what I do is I want Make Lemonade to be so successful that I can not only provide an amazing future for my children, for however they want to grow, but to also empower other entrepreneurs as well to start something from nothing.
That's good. Good. All right. So you mentioned that from the date you decided to open Make Lemonade to the date it actually opened, right? Was what, 7 months or almost a year?
No, it was a year.
It was a year.
Yeah. It took 7 months just to find the space. I think about 2 months of lease negotiations and then about 2 months of renovations.
Okay, good. Now it's renovated. It's all up and go. You probably get all cozy. Now, how did you obtain your first member?
This was actually really lucky the way I got my first member. It was a team of eight, and they were in between offices. Their one lease was ending and they were finding a bigger one, so they needed something in between. And it was through a meeting room booking platform that kind of like bartered a deal between the two companies and got kind of like a payout between us. So that was really great. I was like, fantastic. Like right when I'm opening, I've already got a team of eight. That's amazing. I will take it. I don't care if you are a great culture fit or anything. Just in seats.
It was just like, come occupy, these bills have to get paid. Just come on in.
Yeah. And I have to say too, a lot of my very first members too were family and friends and people who just wanted to support. And I know that a lot of people can relate to this. And I don't think it's actually talked about enough where some of like your first supporters are people who are close to you. Mm-hmm. And it's when you actually start getting the strangers is when it's like really exciting. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that you are paying for me. I really do. But it's the real strangers is when all of a sudden you go, okay, like actual other people like this and not because they just like me. It's other people. I worked with a publicist for a couple of months when I first opened. So that really helped spread the word and get people into the space. And then I started hosting tours like right away. I actually started hosting tours before I even opened. So they saw some of the renovations and we kind of jumped over it, but I just have to, it just wouldn't do it justice if I don't say that the renovations were like the worst time of my life.
What made the renovations that bad? I mean, I've lived throughout renovations, but I've never lived dealing with a business renovation. So what made it that bad?
I think it's a different kind of pressure than renovations that are happening in your home. When it's happening in your home, it's very like, where do I eat? Where do I sleep? You know, that's very personal. When it's in your business, there's a different kind of pressure because anytime something's delayed, that also delays your open date and when you can start opening or start making money. And it just, it's very, very stressful, especially when you haven't done something before. Working with the contractors was like an absolute nightmare. I definitely dealt with all sorts of comments and not being taken seriously and whatnot, because I'm a young woman, that there's just so much BS that happened that just was unnecessary. It was like, let's just make this happen. And it took a long, long time. I also kind of went through, like my stress levels were through the roof And as a result, some interesting kind of health things happened during that time as well. It was not a fun time.
So basically the 2 months during the renovation was more stressful than the 7 months trying to find the location.
Oh, 100%, because it's kind of like during the 7 months, you're just looking and you're building and you're designing a website and this and that, all the little things that you can do without having a space. I guess it's kind of like if you're a t-shirt company, and the one thing you need is the actual material to make the t-shirts. So you have to do all the other things before you can actually do the thing. And that's what it was. Our main business is that, we offer a co-working space and I need the space there. So it was a lot of compounded energy and information and whatnot all pressed into 2 months, because then we also had this deadline, like we need to open so we can start getting people in here.
As you said, you have a co-working space, so I need the space for people to come in and co-work.
Exactly. And every day, like, you're losing money, right? You're just spending. Renovations are very, very expensive. And you're going, okay, I'm doing all of this so that then I can market it to people to come into the space, be like, ta-da. And it was so crazy. It really was like one day I was in leggings and painting my hair. And then all of a sudden the next day we're in business mode and we're offering tours, everybody. I remember the very first days of tours where it was still during some of the renovations, where in the morning I would paint and then I would get myself changed for an hour to do some tours. And then I would change back into my, messy clothing again.
Did what you had to do. Right? That's what being an entrepreneur is about, being resourceful. When needed, you're everything at once. Mm-hmm. If you need to be the social media manager, you're that. If you need to be the painter, you're that. If you need to be the host giving them a tour, you do that because it's yours, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you, during the renovations that you weren't taken serious by some of the contractors, especially the men. What was that like? Did that also kind of fuel you to watch and see similarly, when you had to return to the freelancer, did that kind of fuel you, or are you just like, whatever, it is what it is? How did you handle that?
It was kind of 50-50. A lot of it just really, really pissed me off and, reminded me again, like, this is why I'm opening a space like this, so that women can feel empowered. And if people can come into our space and just forget for half an hour that we live in the world that we do, and that, things can be sunshiny and full of lemonade and fun, just for a little bit, then that's why we have this space like this. But then the other 50% of the time, I also was like, you know what? I just have to get this job done. So sometimes I would just enlist my dad. I'm like, I need you to talk to this guy because he's not going to listen to me. And that's, sometimes that's where us as entrepreneurs and human beings, you have to use your resources. And sometimes I had to block it out and go, this isn't because it's hard. It's just, I just had to use what I had. And when you have a time crunch, like I did, it's like, okay, enough of the fighting, enough of, me having to stand up for myself, which I did all the time. Sometimes I just needed to call in reinforcements because we had other things that needed to happen.
I love that. Call in reinforcement. Dad.
Right.
Now, what have been some of your lowest, darkest moments of being an entrepreneur?
For me, it was right at the beginning. Like I was saying, you know, one day I was painting, the next day, all of a sudden I'm this new entrepreneur here in the city, being asked questions that I wasn't yet prepared to answer. Our press release went out on the very first day I opened. And on that day, I didn't even know how to sell anything. I didn't know what our process was when somebody wanted to buy a day pass and how they would actually purchase it. So then to all of a sudden have to answer these questions, I just wasn't ready for it. And that's when, for really the very first time in my life, I experienced anxiety. I had no idea how that actually felt. And I had heard my friends and family and other people talk about it, but I'd never experienced it firsthand. And all of a sudden, here we are with all this insane amount of pressure going, I need to figure this out really quickly, because if I'm not at my best, then my business is not going to be at my best. And so I had to really figure out a lot right at the beginning. About 3 months into opening Mink Lemonade, I experienced two very close people in my circle who had passed away. Mm-hmm. And then I had also broke up with my boyfriend during that same time too. And I found myself on one day being like, I need to go to a funeral. I have so many things going on. I need somebody to help me run my business for the day, because I can't be in two places at once and I'm only human. And at this point we already had members and, you know, we're open to the public and everything. So I had a great friend who decided to, she worked at the front desk for the day and just, you know, covered what, like, the bare necessities of what I needed her to do. And it was in that moment, all of a sudden, there's just an incredible amount of humility that you feel when you realize I know I can't do everything, and I need other people in my circle. I think it just happened a lot sooner than I was expecting. And God forbid if I ever got sick, that was hard. Or, you know, there was other things too that just changed. My body changed a lot. I all of a sudden started experiencing that your sweat smells differently when you're stressed, as opposed to, you know, working out and feeling good. My period cramps were insanely painful, but then having to put a smile on your face, stress and anxiety really, really affects you in so many other ways than you really realize until you're actually experiencing it.
And I'm glad you're bringing that up, because, you know, as you and I, we know each other in person and we have conversation about this, where it's like, you know, especially social media has its good and its bad, just like anything else. It can bring us business and it can introduce us to new people, but it also paints this glossy picture. Everyone is an entrepreneur. Everyone wants to become an entrepreneur, and it's as if success is heightened. You decide Sunday night you're going to start a business. You start the business on Monday. By Wednesday, you're making six figures. In less than a month, you're making seven figures. And we know it's not true, because as you're saying, you didn't experience certain things like anxiety and stress until you became an entrepreneur, until you had a business that needed you and you realized, hey, I gotta be there, you know, regardless of how I feel, because these bills have to get paid and people depend on me. These members need me. So it's not like, oh, I can just stay home today, right? Mm-hmm. So that was when you realized that, okay, you can't do everything by yourself, and you decided to outsource. You start hiring people, right?
Mm-hmm. So that kind of like being, you know, having to do the call out for somebody to run the business for the day, that started in November. And then I made my very first hire right at the beginning of January. And we actually just celebrated 2 years of working.
Yay!
Yeah. Her name is Ashley. She's the absolute light of my life.
Amazing. Ashley is amazing.
Yeah. And she is the director of Good Vibes here at Mink Lemonade.
Director of Good Vibes. I just love the titles. Chief Lemon, Director of Good Vibes. Mm-hmm. All right. So let me ask. So I just asked, you know, about the lowest and darkest moment. Now, what has been the highest and some of the best ones? Because when there's bad, there's also good, right?
Yeah. You know, it's really hard to pinpoint what like the best memory is.
Okay, well, some of them.
There's so many exciting things. And I think it's only really started to sink in lately. just how much, like, I guess the impact of somebody's time here at Make Lemonade really makes on a person. Mm-hmm. I think one of the coolest things is, so we have something called the Front Desk Gang here at Make Lemonade. It's like an energy exchange like you would see at a yoga studio. So we do that for the front desk. And one of the coolest things was to see somebody go through that program and join it, because a lot of people will join it because, you know, they want an affordable option to be part of this co-working space. So that's why she started. And after about 6 months, she completely transformed and grew her business so big that she could no longer take those 4.5 hour shifts at the front desk because she was too busy with client work. Mm-hmm. And to see people grow and go through that is absolutely incredible. And I guess one of my other highlights is that it was a couple Fridays ago, we had a massive pancake and mimosa party here at Make Lemonade. And I kind of had like a little moment, like I was a little teary-eyed during it, because I really looked around. There was about 40 women in the space who all chose to come to Make Lemonade on a Friday morning, and they were so excited to work, but they also got rewarded with pancakes and mimosas. And I just kind of had to pinch myself and go like, this is my job and I chose this. And I know I'm exactly where I need to be.
Good. All right. So let's back up a bit. You just mentioned Front Desk Gang. Right. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah. So it's a program that we run here at Make Lemonade. We ask people to commit 4.5 to 5 hours once a week. And then in exchange, they get a membership here and a certain amount of day passes based on the time that they commit. So that way it's an affordable way of working outside of Make Lemonade. And some of the general responsibilities is, you know, making sure that people are welcomed and feeling good when they come into the space, you know, helping with the general upkeep and tidiness of the office, making sure there's always coffee and tea and lemonade, and just being like cheerleaders of Make Lemonade, because like I was saying, what I quickly realized is I can't clone myself, but I can find other amazing people who are really excited to be here. And you know, trade options are a great way to start out your business.
Mm-hmm. Barter system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just can't afford to do that, but you find a way to find something that is mutually beneficial for people to help you out, and you do the same thing. And in the end, you also end up making some really great connections too.
Yeah, and it's a win-win. You get the help you need and they get the community and the use of the space, right?
Exactly. So we always have a contract, and it's a 6-month contract. And we, you know, review this is what the arrangement is and the agreement and whatnot, so that everyone is on the same page, and you know, nothing is murky. There's no gray parts to it.
Okay, good. What's the difference in your role and duties and responsibilities of when you initially started Make Lemonade and now? Have they changed? Have they changed much?
Yeah, when I started, I had no boundaries. I had no real understanding what I was doing. And that is completely fair, because that's the way the cookie crumbles. When you start out, you have to learn it and you're building. And now, and mind you, I'm only like, I mean, we've been open for 2 years, but I guess I've been breathing Make Lemonade for 3 years. So there's still a lot to learn. I know that, but where I'm at now is, I think I'm just more of an elevated version of that Rachel who decided to open Make Lemonade at the beginning. And I understand where I say yes and where I say no. I respect my time a lot more. And I understand what the heck we're doing. And I know some of the things I need to look at and some of the things that I don't. I'm not as frustrated anymore, because I learn lessons all the time. I'm constantly learning, but at the beginning I felt like everything was so hard, and I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way, but thankfully I don't learn every lesson the hard way now.
And it was probably frustrating in the beginning because you've never had to deal with them. You've never had to have difficult conversations probably with employees. You've never had to deal with some of the things you've had to deal with because you weren't a business owner before, right? Mm-hmm. You weren't an entrepreneur. So it's one of those things, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm really grateful for my parents too. They had run their business for 33 years, and they've always been my constant sounding board for everything.
What kind of business did they run?
Automotive manufacturing. So they have a big factory in Burlington, Ontario. Throughout my life, I've worked in various positions while I was in high school and whatnot. Christmas break, this and that. And I've worked, in the factory on the assembly line. I've worked in their graphic design department. I've worked at the front desk. I did, random odd jobs in their garden. I've done it all. But for me, anytime throughout my Make Lemonade experience, and it continues, is I always, can talk to my parents and kind of just get their advice. And the funny thing is too, is it's so amazing and I'm so grateful to have them, but we're humans and it takes us a long time sometimes to learn a lesson. I just finally read this book that my dad told me I needed to read about 5 years ago. It takes us a while and you go, oh yeah, and now I know what you were saying. Or, sometimes the advice they give me doesn't click until I hear the same stuff from somebody else.
That is true. All right. So what are some of the things, before I get to that, how many members do you currently have at Make Lemonade?
So we have about 200 people who are part of the Make Lemonade community.
Beautiful, beautiful. How do you currently advertise? Because when you started, it was word of mouth, and then you got a PR team. How do you currently advertise and market the business?
It's still basically the same, minus PR, specifically signed up PR, I guess. But we use Instagram and Facebook. Word of mouth is still the biggest driver to Make Lemonade. We are very intentional about the events that we go to network there and communicate and, connect with new people. This now is a form of PR too. So any podcast interviews, speaking on panels, speaking at events, those are different ways to connect with potential new people who haven't heard of Make Lemonade.
Good. Three things that you know now that you wished you knew then. When you was open or prior to opening?
Now what I know is that, this is so funny, that business has a lot more to do with your intuition than you ever realize. Mm-hmm. I learned that when you take time for yourself, and go for a walk or take that yoga class or decide to sleep in, that doesn't make you any less committed to your business.
Self-care.
Yes.
That's needed. You need to pour back into you, right?
Exactly. What else do I know? I guess I knew this, but now I understand it. Oh, I have two. Sorry, I'm going to add four. So one is we can do anything, but you cannot do everything. And the other one is there's a difference between being strong and having to use your strength.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Could you elaborate a bit more on that last one?
Absolutely. Okay. For me personally, I know I'm a strong person. I know I have, strong opinions. I know my values are strong, this and that. But sometimes you have to do really hard things that you don't want to. So there's a difference between, living this and that's it. But when you have to actually act that out and do something, that's where you're like, oh, damn, I'm a real grown up now.
I'm really adulting now.
Yes.
All right. Do you have anything coming up for Make Lemonade that you want to share with us?
The thing I just always love to share with everybody is about our Hump Day Magic. Every Wednesday, I send out a from the heart note with tidbits about entrepreneurship, business tips, and other news happening in Make Lemonade. And that is delivered right to your inbox every Wednesday. So you can get that at makelemonade.ca/magic.
Great. All right. And where can we find you? How can we learn more about you and the amazing co-working space for women?
Mm-hmm. So you can follow us on Instagram at Make Lemonade Co. Visit us in person in Toronto at 326 Adelaide Street West, or get on that list for makelemonade.ca/magic.
Yay! Thank you so much, Rachel, for taking the time to speak with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. This was so fun.
Thank you, dear.
Hey, hey, hey. It's Trudy here, guys. And we're slowly coming out of quarantine, and you may have gained that quarantine 15 or 20. Don't worry, no one's judging, but hey, I got you. I created my 30-day at-home shred with Trudy, where you work out with me. Everything is pre-recorded, no gym, no equipment. You work out from the comfort of your home. Full meal plans, which include recipes and grocery lists, are included. To learn more about it, just go to my website, bodyenvy.ca, and click on 30-Day At-Home Shred, right? So that's bodyenvy.ca.
And that's a wrap for today's episode. Oh, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts.
And hey, if we're not already connected on Instagram, you can definitely connect with me. It's Trudy German, pretty easy. T-R-U-D-I-E-G-E-R-M-A-N.